Well, please open your Bibles to John chapter 8 as we continue our series on Jesus' I Am's with I Am the Light of the World. The word rival refers to persons or groups that tries to defeat or be more successful than another person or group. And a serious and continuing competition between such peoples and groups is known as a rivalry. Now, some rivalries are fairly benign. Sports, for example, too many rivalries to even mention. Or among companies, a rivalry between Coke and Pepsi, or between Apple and Microsoft. But some rivalries are far more deadly. National rivalries often lead to wars. Tribal or clan rivalries can lead to violent feuding or sometimes even genocide. Religious rivalries often lead to persecution. But I would propose to us that the deadliest of all rivalries is a spiritual rivalry that we read in Scripture. It is the serious and continuing competition between light and darkness. Throughout Scripture, we see God associated with light and Satan with darkness. We see holiness associated with light and sin and evil associated with darkness. We see knowledge and sight associated with light, but ignorance and blindness associated with darkness. Truth associated with light and falsehood associated with darkness. Life itself associated with light and death with darkness. In fact, these two spiritual forces are so incompatible that Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, "What fellowship does light have with darkness?" These two are so incompatible that Paul's saying it is incomprehensible that the two could ever compromise with one another, that the two could ever have fellowship with one another. The Dictionary of Bible Theology says these themes of light and darkness are further developed by the New Testament writers to distinguish people and activities aligned with God from those opposed to God and aligned with Satan and the demonic. And into this rivalry, into this serious and continuing competition, into this cosmic battle, steps Jesus, who says, "I am the light of the world." Let's pray. Father, I pray today as we once again study what it means when Jesus says, "I am something," that I am light, this category that we find throughout Scripture. I pray that you would help us to understand in a greater way, that in understanding Jesus, we would understand, we would have light, we would receive light revelation today. Help us. Help us to receive this light so that we have life today. Save lives through your gospel today. Help me. I need your grace. Help those who hear, they need your grace. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. I am the light of the world. With most of Jesus' I am sayings that we're going to look at in John, they're actually connected to an event. This event that's the context for this is the lighting of these four giant candelabras or lamps on the Temple Mount at the end of the first day of the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Booths was this joyous celebration of singing and rejoicing, of remembering God's care for his people in the wilderness. And it's reported that the light from these four lamps, the light for the temple, actually illuminated the entire city. They were so bright. And so Jesus uses this opportunity with this celebrating crowd, with this marveling crowd, to say to them, a greater light is among you. It's a light that doesn't simply light the city. It's a light that lights the whole world. It's me. So that's where we read in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. By Jesus saying to us, I am the light of the world, he's saying that everything that light is and does, Jesus is and does, and everything that darkness is and does, Jesus opposes and undoes all of those things. In John's introduction to his gospel, John uses this same light and life language as Jesus does here, where he writes in John 1, 4, and 5, and then 9, where Jesus is introduced as the Word who created the world. He writes, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So two main points, and then we're going to make one side point later on. The first is that light overcomes darkness, and the second is light imparts life. Light overcomes darkness. Light imparts life. First, light overcomes darkness. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world in John, where John wrote that he is not just some light, but he is the light. John writes, he is the true light, the authentic light, the genuine light, the 100% accurate light, as opposed to every other doctrine or person that purports to be the spiritual light, to show the way, to be the light. Jesus is very clearly here saying, I am the light. I am the true light. Skip Ryan says, what does light mean? It's a key word used in the Gospel of John. If you scan the Bible, noting every time the word light was used, you would have to conclude that light means knowledge, particularly knowledge that is revealed by God. So when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's revealing something to us. First of all, he's revealing what God is like. In John 1:18, a little later on in the first chapter, John writes, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, Jesus. He has made him known. Later on in the gospel, in John chapter 12, 44, Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me, and whoever sees me sees him who sent me. In other words, Jesus is God incarnate. God come in the flesh. In John 1:1, the Word was God. I remember one of our pastors, Larry Malamut, used to tell this story in Alpha about this little girl who was drawing. And the mom asked the little girl, what are you drawing? And she said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the mom said, well, nobody knows what God looks like. And she said, well, they will when I'm through. Well, the purpose of Jesus coming was that we would know what God looks like. We would know what God is like. With Jesus coming, he would uniquely and perfectly disclose to us, reveal to us, shed light upon what God was like, not just in a book, though praise God for a book, but in a person. And Jesus not only reveals, but Jesus is the revelation himself in his very being. It's why Jesus doesn't simply say, I bring light or I enlightened, but I am the light. He is the light. So he reveals what God is like. And in revealing what God is like, he reveals the reason that he came. He reveals the way of salvation for men. R.V. Tasker writes, Jesus made the further revelation of himself as the light of the world, who opens the eyes of men's spiritual understanding and guides them into the truth about themselves and about what God has done to satisfy their most urgent need. And their most urgent need, all of our most urgent needs, is the need for salvation. Walking in darkness is a common description in the Bible for sin, walking in sin, or walking as one who is lost. Walking in darkness is the sorry condition that each and every one of us is born into. It's the condition that subjected each and every one of us at one time to the punitive wrath of God. Again, Ryan says, darkness is John's word for that complex of thoughts, attitudes, and deeds which characterize our hearts and blinds us to our condition and to God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes that because of our rejection of God, our hearts are darkened. In Ephesians 5, 8, he writes, at one time you were darkness. At one time you were darkness. Not just what you did or said was darkness, but you were darkness. In the very same way that Jesus says, I am light. That light is part of Jesus' essential nature. So darkness was part of our essential nature. It was who we were. And Jesus later in John 12, 35 says, the one who walks in darkness doesn't know where they're going. In other words, all of us at one time walked in darkness. We were stumbling through life in this pitiable condition. And we needed light shed on our situation, which is exactly what the gospel did. Which is exactly what Jesus did for us in the gospel. Again, in John 12, 46, I have come into the world as light so there's a reason that he came into the world as light. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. In 2 Timothy 1, 10, Paul writes, about the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When Jesus came as the light of the world, he not only revealed what God is like, but through his life, through what he did, through his death, and through his resurrection, he brought something so needed to light. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what the preaching of the gospel is intended to do. Paul writes about himself in Acts 26:18, that he came to open their eyes so that they could turn from darkness to light. John described the very reason I wrote this gospel is so that people could believe in Jesus and that they could have life. We find in John 3:16, the famous verse that's held up at every sporting event, that God sent the light of the world into the world because of his love for the world, so that the world could have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Which, by the way, is even more stunning when you realize that when John says world, that world really means sinful humanity that was in rebellion against God. That God's love for sinners like you and me, who rebelled against him and hated him and loved walking in the darkness, as he says later on in John chapter 3, because we didn't want our deeds exposed, because we hated the light, that those very people, that God so loved us that he sent the light of the world into the world so that we would no longer walk in darkness, but that we might have the light of life. So light exposes darkness. Darkness is done away with by the light, overcome by the light. The second thing we find about light is that light imparts life. Light overcomes death, which is the worst effect of darkness. Light imparts life. Those sinners that we talked about who walked in darkness, who were darkness, we needed much more than knowledge. Although we did need knowledge. We needed more than knowledge. We needed transformation. Dead people need life. Blind people need sight. People that love darkness need to have their affections transformed. And as the light of life, Jesus says that I not only bring revelation, I not only reveal truth, but I impart life. That the light of the world has come so that we who walked in darkness could have the light of life. Now, when you unpack and pull all the strings in Scripture, to have the light of life is to have Jesus himself. To have the light of life is to have the light of the world in your life. When we are born again, when we go from being dead to alive and blind to seeing, and our affections are transformed in that way, it's because Jesus himself comes to indwell us, to impart new life to us. Later, or earlier in John chapter 5:24, Jesus had said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but he has passed from death to life." In other words, whoever believes my word, when the word of God comes, when the gospel comes, when the light of truth comes, and the person believes that light of truth, they pass from death to life. And so the gospel imparts life. The gospel isn't just a message. The gospel is a power. That's why Paul writes famously in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. In 2 Corinthians 4 through 6, he writes about their mission to present the gospel in a world of darkness, and in Satan, who wants to keep people in darkness. He writes, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." In other words, this rivalry, this battle, Satan wanting to keep people in the dark and God wanting to bring the light through Jesus, through the gospel. And then he says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in their hearts to give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, the power of the gospel, the life-imparting power of the gospel, is the same creative power that God used when he spoke the world into being out of nothing. When nothing existed, and God spoke, and everything came into being. That's the creative power of the gospel. Just like Genesis 1, 2, and 3, darkness hovered over the face of the earth. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Brothers and sisters, darkness was over our hearts. Darkness was who we were. And God said, let the light of the gospel shine into that darkness. And it did. And we saw the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's why John could write there in 1:5 that light came into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. Now, it's really interesting, the Greek's an interesting language. It's much more complex than English. But the wording here refers back to a single event. When John says the darkness has not overcome it, he's referring to a single event, a single point in history, and that point was the cross of Christ. That point was the centerpiece of the gospel. Darkness thought by killing Jesus, it would win. Darkness thought by killing Jesus, the rivalry was over. The rivalry was done. That's why it's so interesting in Luke that he mentions between the sixth and the ninth hour, darkness came over the face of the land because darkness thought we've won. But darkness, brothers and sisters, has not overcome, has it? Because Jesus burst forth in glory from the grave when he rose from the dead. So the gospel imparts to us life, and Jesus also shows us how to live. He not only imparts that life to us, but then he shows us how to live. The second part of our passage today, John 8:12, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Walk in the Bible is just another way of saying the way you live your life. Walking is just a way to say the way you live your life. And Jesus says here, whoever follows me, whoever walks in my light, as we increasingly imitate him, as we increasingly follow his commands and his examples, the things that he showed us, the things that he told us, as we increasingly follow the written word and the living word, that we increasingly distance ourselves from that past darkness, that former darkness, and walk in ever greater life and light. It's why the psalmist famously said in Psalm 119 that the unfolding of your word, the written word and the living word, the unfolding of your word gives light. Now, there's one other interesting thing that I want to note that Jesus says, actually says it a couple times. In John chapter 9:5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And then later in John 12, and the band could come, Jesus says to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Now, when I read that, I think, oh no! What happens when Jesus is no longer in the world? What happens when the light of the world goes out in that way? Well, here's what happens in Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. You are now the light of the world. City set on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Similarly, in 1 Peter 2:9, Jesus says, Paul writes, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Taken together, these two show us that it is both our duty and our privilege as disciples to proclaim and to demonstrate, to shine, to proclaim and to demonstrate that Jesus is the light of the world, and that whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.